There are certainly concepts, instructions, ideas, that I think that over time, those that are members of the Lord's church become familiar with. And perhaps sometimes to the point that we may tend to forget how that plays out within our lives. Concerning relationships that we have between one another. We talk about being members of the Lord's church, but there are any number of different descriptions found within the scriptures that help us understand that relationship that exists between those members. We're familiar with the truths that are taught within passages like Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 that tells us that the church is the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church, which is his body. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Passages, things like the household of Christ, the household of God. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that he needs to know how to ought to behave himself in the church of the living God, the house of God. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. It defines a relationship between those who are members of the Lord's church. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, Peter, talking about himself being an elder and the exhortation that he's giving to elders, reminds them that they are a flock. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. We mentioned the idea of members from Romans chapter 12. If we go back a few chapters in the book of Romans, we see that there is the idea of brethren, a family relationship that exists. Romans chapter 8 in verse 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I realize I'm not telling you anything new. Again, I understand the idea that these are some concepts. Those that are part of the Lord's church understand that there's a description of being a part of the body of Christ. Being a child of God, being part of his family. Being a sheep within the flock of which the overseers, the elders, take the oversight. Being part of the household of God, having God as our Father. But just knowing those things are not enough. I'm convinced that there are reasons why we have this and other descriptions of the Lord's church found within the Scriptures. It's to help assist us in learning how we're to interact with one another. How we engage with each other. Just knowing these truths is not enough. We have the responsibility to make these relationships grow and to make these relationships prosper. I remind you of what we see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Where to me, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, it drives the point home that whether we are brothers or sisters, whether we're looking at it as sheep in the flock of God or as members of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to build each other up. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. How does the household get stronger? Well, the household's building itself up. How are the sheep made stronger? Well, it's the flock it's the flock of sheep that are doing it for itself. The sad truth is that we know these relationships exist. And I dare say we know that it should be something that is growing. It's something that should be improving. Yet there are families, there are bodies that are falling apart and dying because little or no effort is being made to help them grow and flourish. So for our study today, I want to look at some things that we can see within the scriptures, how the Bible teaches some things that are hindrances to start with, the hindrances for growth, and then we'll conclude with the helps for growth within the relationships that exist amongst God's people. We'll start off with the idea of the relation, what we call the relationship hindrances. These are things that are detrimental to growth of the body of Christ. Now, just stop for just a second. When I talk about, whether today or other lessons, we think about the idea of the body of Christ. There are sometimes, and I hope that at the times that I'm trying to designate, talking about this body, this local congregation, the members at Oakland, that I can clearly define that for you. But I want us to think about for this lesson, and partly because of where we live. I'm not focusing this upon just this congregation, although I hope that there are individuals here that will listen to these things and take them to heart and make that application to this local congregation. But I had the realization as we're going through this. We live in a location where 3 doors down from my house may be, well, literally 2 doors down from my house are members of the Lord's church. They attend at another congregation. But the things that we're going to talk about can apply in that as well. So think both broad, universal church as well as local congregation in these things. The things that can be a detriment. We'll start off with a very, I don't know if you want to call it controversial or what, but this is a hard-hitting idea. A lack of attendance is a relationship hindrance. When we think about this local congregation, when we're together, we come together for our worship services and our Bible studies. Those are the primary times when we are all gathered together. Fair statement? That the only time when this number of people are gathered together is when we're in this building. So when we think about the times of worship, we need to realize that we have a commandment to assemble ourselves together. Hebrews chapter 10 is very well known and oftentimes quoted, and rightfully so, passage of scripture that helps us understand the responsibility that we have to assemble ourselves together. A wise man once told me that when you're looking at Hebrews chapter 10, and in particular verses 24 and 25, you do well to start back in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When we look at the things found in verse 22 and 23, the idea of let us drawing near, let us hold fast, we need to have within our hearts and within our minds this relationship that exists as the flock, the household, family, the body of Christ. And in verse 24, we use this as a time to stimulate each other to love and do good deeds. Let us consider one another in order to stir up take the oil and the water when they're separated. How are you going to get them together? You start stirring them up. You're stimulating those things. In verse 25, it is a time that we gather together where we can encourage each other. And so to me, it seems that the teaching is crystal clear that we all need to worship together. We all have that commandment that we need to be obedient to. Don't think I'm trying to be mean. This is just a fact. Should the Lord allow the rest of this day and tomorrow to continue, and even later on allow this week to progress, there are some here this morning that will choose not to be here tonight or Wednesday. It's a question that you need to answer as to why. When one chooses not to attend, you really don't have any excuse to complain about not being close to the brethren, because it's a relationship hindrance when we fail to attend our worship services and our Bible studies. A lack of hospitality is also a relationship hindrance. We think about this. How often are we together? How often do we get together in each other's homes? And I'm not talking about the whole 100-plus people that are assembled here today. I'm talking about the individual little aspects of it. How often am I getting in touch with or having a meal with someone else? How often are we spending time with each other? Do we have a sense of togetherness? This is an important concept for us to understand. It's indeed an important concept, so important that it is something that is commanded, that we be hospitable to one another. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. In that section of the letter of the Romans, the sentence sermons that he's giving there. These very quick, brief bullet points, if you will, given to hospitality. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19 that when we are hospitable, we are to do so without complaint, without grumbling, without murmuring. This is a characteristic that is a quality of those that would lead a congregation. It is a characteristic that is to be a part of the lives of both the elders and the deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 and Titus chapter 1 and verse 8. Let me remind you that this has some grave responsibilities that have been placed upon us. When we consider this aspect of our lives as the body of Christ, flock of God, the family of God, and the relationships that exist between each other, when we go back to what Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, well, I want us to understand and be reminded that how we interact with each other is going to play a part in our eternal destiny. The righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. There's a relationship that exists between how we interact with each other, how it plays on our relationship with Jesus Christ. And many times we excuse these things, saying that we don't have the time to get together. We're so busy with this, that, and the other. Well, very simply then, you should make the time. Because I know, because it's something I deal with, I make time for the things that I want to do. And when we give off other excuses, offer up other things, of our homes are not big enough, are nice enough, those are just excuses. these are tools of the devil. Because, see, the devil doesn't want us to be built up. The devil doesn't want us to be encouraged and strengthened by gathering together and being with one another. Drawing strength from our family. And we can't say that there aren't opportunities available. I think about some of the things that have been organized by members of this congregation. I think I'm saying it right, what's generally referred to as supper club. What a wonderful blessing to be able to say, here are three or four families that we're going to get together. Why is that? It's for the purpose of encouraging each other and building ourselves up and getting to know one another, spending time with one another. The ladies have prayer breakfast. The men have gatherings together. It wasn't announced, and I apologize to Darren for not reminding him of this previously when he was going through announcements, or for the announcements that I know he's got some to give us. Tonight, after services, a vacation Bible school meeting, interest meeting, a gathering of those that are interested in teaching or assisting, or helping in some way for a vacation Bible school coming up. Is that a way that we can get together and be hospitable and helpful with one another? Certainly it is. We need to realize that a lack of hospitality is a hindrance to our relationships with one another. A lack of understanding for those that are less mature in the faith. We need to remember that we're all growing in faith, or at least we all should be, but we all have different levels. We're growing at different paces, if you will. Peter tells us to grow in grace and in knowledge. And we saw there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 that as a group, we're working together for building up itself. But I know that you are aware that the scriptures tell that there are different maturity levels. There are those that are babes in Christ. There are those that are mature in their faith. That's what the Hebrew writer describes in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, as well as what the Apostle Paul states in Romans chapter 14. Strong versus the weak. And going through that chapter, in that chapter alone, there are instructions there of how those two work together. Some are farther along in their race, but no matter how long you have been a child of God, there are things that we struggle with, which makes us no different from anybody else. Whether you're strong or whether you're weak, there are things that you're dealing with. And while there are some that may be more mature than others, they're not any more special. More maturity does bring about a greater responsibility. And it's interesting to note that when we're thinking about what the writer of Hebrews tells us, in Hebrews chapter 5 that I mentioned, verse 12 and verse 13 and 14, we go back to the first part of chapter 5 and see that there are some, or verse 12, I believe it is, there are some that ought to be at this level who are not, that need to be taught again. See, the problem or the hindrance comes when the less mature are not concerned about growing. And in that case, the more mature brethren need to make sure that there is an environment conducive for growth. It may mean that one-on-one times together are what is necessary. You know, this is an agricultural area. And my wife for those that don't know exactly where we live just off the corner of Elm and Edgewood, Hine Street, right there at that four-way stop that probably everybody in here has been through one time or another. And there's a field that's sitting right there. She commented about, I wonder why that pile of gravel is sitting out there in that field. We drove by this morning and looked at it. Well, it's probably not gravel. It's probably some kind of nutrient. In times past, it's been some other things that have been spread over fields that I'm sure farmers are very well aware of. I tell you all that to remind you of this. The agricultural, the farmer knows that the crops are only going to grow in the right environment. And if we have this lack of understanding of those that are part of the church where we assemble, the congregation where we worship, if that could be a hindrance because we're not providing an environment conducive for their growth. And it's good for those who are mature in the faith to have an understanding about those that are less mature. It's a good time for those mature in the faith to think back to where were you 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago? What was provided for you, and are you now providing that for others? I dare say that there's not a mature, growing Christian here that cannot think of a single person that has impacted their lives in a positive way. Far too often, this lack of understanding between the maturity levels of individuals is a hindrance. Spiritual growth is not always natural. It's something that's going to take work. It's going to take nurturing. It's going to take teaching. It's going to take patience. And it's helping others become more mature and stronger. And in doing so, it'll help you become more mature and stronger. Another relationship hindrance is a lack of tolerance in differing personalities and opinions. Far too often, tolerance is abused. I think we see this within the denominational world, where they have just allowed this, that, and the other to take place, and they've just gone overboard with tolerance. And I would go so far as to say, even those who call themselves churches of Christ have become too tolerant. But when it comes to perspective, when it comes to opinions, there are certainly differences between people because people are different. We're going to disagree. That's going to be natural. Some may not like the times of the services. Instead of at 9 o'clock, they'd rather have it earlier, or they'd rather have it later, or Wednesday night times. Some may not like the color of the psalm books. Some may not like even the psalm books that we're using. Key is to not take those things personally. When it comes down strictly to matters of opinion, we would be wise to remember that we are to esteem others above ourselves. What Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. And there, I believe, is where the problem lies. Congregations get divided over jealousy. Congregations get divided over covetousness, as well as individual tastes. We need to make sure that there is not a lack of tolerance in matters of opinion. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I'm not talking about matters of doctrine. There is no tolerance in that. That's where the denominations and such have gone off into error. They've been tolerance in doctrinal issues. Many times, the effort is not made, and that creates a problem. We're told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 to pursue peace Friends, that takes effort. And many times that takes a great deal of effort. A lack of tolerance. That's a relationship hindrance. We need to make sure that we are tolerant in matters of where we can be tolerant of one another. Perhaps very closely connected with the idea of understanding and knowing the maturity level of others. One other is the lack of compassion among brethren when trouble arrives. Have you ever been on the receiving end of statements like, well, you should have thought about that before? Or you get what you deserve. Those kinds of statements, they're cruel. They're merciless. And many times they are said as a result of pride and arrogance because brethren act with a lack of compassion. And that ought not to be. Remember, we've touched on passages, even Philippians chapter 2. The idea of we need to be aware and thinking about ourselves and how we are presenting ourselves to others. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There should be no reason for a lack of compassion because we're understanding of others. Anyone can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And hurtful things can be said, and the pain can last for years and scar their lives for long periods of time. But on the flip side, when you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself in a trial, don't play the self-pity game. Don't go around seeking special attention. Remember that everyone has their own set of problems to face, and you're not the only one, but far too often, we get hurt for no reason because we don't get the attention that we think we deserve to receive. A lack of compassion when trials and tribulations arrive on the scene. These are hindrances. These are things that will hinder the relationship of those within this local congregation. These are things that will hinder the relationship between members of the Lord's church across the globe. Now, the way that we overcome these hindrances are by developing positive relationships with each other. And I've touched on a few little things as we've gone through this of how we ought to be doing that. Let me suggest a few other relationship helps, if you will. Be a listener. Too often we're quick to speak, telling someone what we think, and we're not willing to listen to what they have to say. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You probably heard this before. It's a very clever observation. We have two ears and one mouth. Might suggest that we listen twice as much as we speak. We can help relationships amongst our brethren by listening to them. We can help relationships among our brethren by being devoted to our brethren. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. You see, we've all been born again. we're all sons and daughters of God, and we ought to share together in this. It's a relationship that has been created, that we willingly stepped into, became a part of. And this is a relation, this is a responsibility that each Christian has. Quit playing the waiting game and do your part. You be kindly affectionate one to another. You show brotherly love. You give honor, giving preference to one another. Don't wait on the other party. This text suggests a very strong, warm affection for brethren. I don't know why, but I only have one sister. I've got a couple of brothers, and I've got one sister, and she's our only one. And she knows that when she comes and we see each other, that I'm going to just kind of shy away, as she oftentimes wants to come and just hug all over me. It's a brother-sister thing. But I dare say, my sister knows very much that myself and my two brothers care for her deeply. We've spent a long time together. We've gone through a lot together. Those family relationships help illustrate what we're talking about here in Romans chapter 12, being kindly affectionate one to another. We want to have that kind of love for one another. We need to practice being devoted to one another. We need to be willing to let the little things go. We all have quirks. We all have habits. We all have expressions. I did not plan to talk about this, and I don't know if you've heard. I've heard many people already express things that I know tells me that they've talked to Ernest Nave about our adventures Monday and Tuesday this past week. And somebody might have the idea that, well, he could be a dad to me. In fact, we were out somewhere and somebody suggested such. Is that your dad up there? It's because of the relationship that we have that even though I'm going to joke with him, and you may have heard me say this, I know you've heard Ernest say, tolerable, tolerable. It's fun, Ernest, and I love you. And I've talked to him and said, hey, okay, that's your one time for today. Call it what you want. I'm not trying to get Ernest to stop saying tolerable, tolerable. I hope you understand that. I know certainly. It has come up within my lesson today. I was reminded over and over and over, and if you haven't caught it yet, I'm sorry that I'm going to call it out now, because you probably will not be able to unhear it. I put an R in the way I say the word spelled W-A-S-H. Just the way I grew up. That's the way I call it. It's the way I pronounce it. You very well may not like hearing that. I'll try my best, and again, it's come up in this because I've already read the word, and I'm trying to consciously not do that as much as I have, but it's a quirk. It's an expression. And we need to be tolerable. We need to be willing to let the little things go. I realize we can get on each other's nerves. I've already gone probably longer and talked more about my family today than what I ever have or probably ever will. I'm the brother that was known for aggravating my siblings. I got in trouble many times as a young child when my younger brother, 2 years younger than I am, I sat there on purpose. My mother knew it, that I was doing something with the pure motive to aggravate him so that he would wake up, she'd have to deal with him, and then all aside, we get on each other's nerves. what the scriptures have to say about when things like that occur. Well, I think Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 is an excellent place for us to keep in mind and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're to have patience. We're to show kindness. We're to have a tenderness. We're to be forgiving of one another. Be willing to let the little things go. It'll help the relationships. I had thought about this earlier. I didn't write it down and put it in my notes. That's the reason I'm just now thinking about it again. Just on a side note, when we're talking about being a listener, being devoted to one another, being willing to let things go, that can apply to a lot of relationships. I hope that you're understanding that for this lesson, I'm talking about relationships that exist between members of the body of Christ. And finally, be helpful. Help each other out with our weaknesses. We mentioned Galatians chapter 6 earlier. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Lord willing, we'll look at this in more detail in lessons to come. But I hope you understand in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens. That's things that you can assist with. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. There are roles and responsibilities that we as individuals have that someone else can't do for us. I can't expect Rusty to be the good husband to Tanya that I know I have the responsibility to be. But when there are difficulties that come up that Rusty or someone else can assist with, that's where bearing one another's burdens. You need assistance getting from one place to another because your car is broke down. Any number of things that may come up, those are the burdens that we're talking about there. Working together, we can help each other improve our lives. So, how is your relationship with the family of God here? Are there hindrances? Are you the cause of them? Are you assisting? Are you helping with the relationships that exist? The best way to improve our relationships among each other is to become an imitator of God. To work within our own lives to be more like Jesus. We have a perfect example seen between the relationship of God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. When we earnestly work on building and improving relationships with brethren, we'll realize that it's not going to come by accident. It's going to take work. Friends, as important as our relationships are with each other as brethren, that relationship doesn't exist if you do not have a relationship with God. And that's the primary. That's where it starts. Do you have a relationship with God? Are you His child? Are you one of His sheep? Are you a member of His household? Are you part of His family? Are you a member in His body? If not, here's the perfect time and the opportunity. If you're willing to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, make changes in your life, if you're willing to be baptized, you can have all your sins washed away and be born into the family of God. And know that through God's word and His instructions, you've got the tools necessary to build that relationship with Him. And in doing so, you have faithful men and women who can assist you and helping you grow as a child of God. There may be those in our audience this morning that need to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the time and the opportunity. If you realize that you have been part of the problem, if you are the hindrances, you need to make changes. Don't be a hindrance. Be a help. And that may start, that will start with a repentance of sins and a confession to God of the wrong. Praying to God, knowing that He will forgive you, and begin working and living a life, being a help. And if we can assist you in some way by making your life right with God, here's the time, and we bid you come as together we stand and sing.